Blog Talk Radio.
Fun just being with my mother and having time with her, just she and I. And then, you know, we had dinner with family that I hadn't seen in a while, and so it was just a great day. So thanking God this morning for my mother, thanking God for another year to have my mother and to know that all is well. Thank God today for your mothers, for your fathers, for your sisters, for your brothers. Just thank God that he gave you your children for another day. So thank you, Lord. I appreciate what you have given me. I appreciate you waking me up this morning, clothing my right mind with a pep in my step, and the joy of the Lord in my soul. So thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Heavenly Father, God, I come to you this morning, lifting up the name of Jesus, thanking you for another day of grace, another day that you have given me, God, to read and teach your word and to just be grateful that I am a child of God, and that I have been shown on good ground. Father God, I lift this word up asking you, Lord God, to increase as I decrease. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble, humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength. You, Lord God, are my redeemer. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for me. Thank you for my mother and my siblings. Thank you for cousins and friends. And Lord God, thank you for this beautiful day that you have made. I rejoice and I'm glad in it, thanking you for your holy and divine Son who took my sins, all of my sins, to the cross so that I may be redeemed by your grace and mercy. And it's in his name, the name of Yeshua, my Savior, my friend, Jesus, amen, giving honor to the Most High, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And our title this morning is coming out of Mark chapter 4, and we're talking about the sower. And what seed, where are you sown? Where are you sown? What kind of ground are you sown on? Hallelujah. And we will get to that. We are in Leviticus chapter 15 and 16. We will also be in our 26th Psalm, verses 6 through 12, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 8, and Mark chapter 4. So please get your Bibles out. It's time for Bible study. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the word of God in Leviticus chapter 15, starting in verse 1. And the Lord spoke, hallelujah, he spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when any man has a discharge from his body, his discharge is unclean, and this shall be his uncleanliness in regard to his discharge, whether his body runs with his discharge or his body is stopped up by his discharge. It is his uncleanliness. Every bed is unclean on which he who has a discharge lies, and everything on which he sits shall be unclean. And whoever touches his bed shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. He who sits on anything on which he who has the discharge sat shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. And he who touches the body of him who has the discharge shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. If he who has the discharge spit on him who is clean, then he shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. Any saddle on which he who has the discharge rides shall be unclean. Whoever touches anything that was under him shall be unclean until evening. He who carries any of those things shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. And whomever the one who has the discharge touches and has not rinsed his hands in water, he shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. The vessel of earth that he who has the discharge touches shall be broken, and every vessel of wood shall be rinsed in water. And when he who has a discharge is cleansed of his discharge, then he shall count for himself 7 days for his cleansing, wash his clothes, and bathe his body in running water. Then he shall be clean. On the eighth day he shall take for himself 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons and come before the Lord to the door of the tabernacle of meeting and give them to the priest. Then the priest shall offer them the one as a sin offering and the other as a burnt offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord because of his discharge. If any man has an emission of semen, then he shall wash all his body in water and be unclean until evening. And any garment and any leather on which there is semen, it shall be washed with water and be unclean until evening. Also, when a woman lies with a man and there is an emission of semen, they shall bathe in water and be unclean until evening. If a woman has a discharge and the discharge from her body is blood, she shall be set apart 7 days, and whoever touches her shall be unclean until evening. Everything that she lies on during her impurity shall be unclean. Also, everything that she sits on shall be unclean. Whoever touches her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. And whoever touches anything that she sat on shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. If anything is on her bed or on anything on which she sits when she touches it, he shall be unclean until evening. And if any man lies with her at all so that her impurity is on him, he shall be unclean 7 days, and every bed on which he lies shall be unclean. If a woman has a discharge of blood for many days other than at the time of her customary impurity, or if it runs beyond her usual time of impurity, all the days of her unclean discharge shall be as the days of her customary impurity. And I want to put a pin there. Let me finish. It says that she shall be unclean. And when we think about this, and it tells us in this word, because remember, at the time of Christ, before he died, they were living under this Levitical law. And so the woman with the issue of blood, think about this. She was considered unclean and in her impurity for 12 years. Every bed on which she lies all the days of her discharge shall be to her as the bed of her impurity. So you think about this. And whatever she sits on shall be unclean as the uncleanness of her impurity. Whoever touches those things shall be unclean. He shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. But if she is cleansed of her discharge, then she shall count for herself 7 days, so that she shall be clean. And on the eighth day she shall take for herself 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons and bring them to the priest, to the door of the tabernacle meeting. Then the priest shall offer the one as a sin offering and the other as a burnt offering, and the priest shall make atonement for her before the Lord for the discharge of her uncleanliness. 12 years, not able to say she is clean. You think about that. 12 years with an issue of blood and not being able to say that you are cleansed in all that time, until you take it upon yourself to say, I don't care. I know that I'm against the Levitical law of being out, that anything I touch is considered unclean. I am going to the Savior. I know that I am going to be cleansed of this. And she just said, I will touch the hem of his garment. She touched his garment. He felt it. Her faith made her well. Think about this. You can't be around people. You can't do anything. 12 long years of solitude, going to doctors, going to everyone, and the only thing they could think of probably was to take more blood and put a leech on you or something similar, because they didn't do what they were doing nowadays. You know, this woman went through Jesus. And it says this, thus you shall separate the children of Israel from their uncleanliness, lest they die in their uncleanliness when they defile my tabernacle that is among them. This is the law of for one who has a discharge, and for him who emits semen and is unclean thereby, and for her who is indisposed because of her customary impurity, and for one who has a discharge, either man or woman, and for him who lies with her who is unclean. It's in the word. And when we go to Leviticus 15, you shall separate the children of Israel from their uncleanliness. We may wonder at all of the rules and regulations given to Moses, but it comes down to this. Will we trust God that he knows best even when something makes no sense to us? And yes, the answer is we must trust God. Chapter 16, Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, your brother, not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. Thus Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering and of a ram as a burnt offering. He shall put the holy linen tunic and the linen trousers on his body. He shall be girded with a linen sash and with a linen turban. He shall be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore he shall wash his body in water and put them on. And he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goat as a sin offering and one ram as a burnt offering. Aaron shall offer the bull a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle meeting. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell, be the scapegoat, shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it, and let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. And you know, we've heard the term scapegoat. There it is. Say, whoop, there it is. That's where it comes from. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it, and to let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself. Make atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bull as the sin offering, which is for himself. Then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, with his hands full of sweet incense, beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil. And he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die. Some of the blood of the bull, and it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side, and before the mercy seat he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people. Bring its blood inside the veil. Do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat, before the mercy seat. So he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanliness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions, for all their sins. And so he shall do for the tabernacle a meeting which remains among them in the midst of their uncleanliness. There shall be no man in the tabernacle meeting when he goes in to make atonement in the holy place until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the assembly of Israel. He shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat, and put it on the horns of the altar all around. Then he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger seven times, cleanse it and consecrate it from the uncleanliness of the children of Israel. And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place, the tabernacle meeting, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to an uninhabited land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness, and thus the scapegoat. Then Aaron shall come into the tabernacle meeting, shall take off the linen garment which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there, and he shall wash his body with water in a holy place, put on his garments, come out, and for his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people, and make atonement for himself and for the people. The fat of the sin offering he shall burn on the altar, and he who released the goat as the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterwards he may come into the camp. The bull of the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall be carried outside the camp, and they shall burn in the fire their skin, their flesh, and their offal. Then he who burns them shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterwards he may come into the camp. This shall be a statute forever for you. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether a native of your own country or a stranger who dwells among you. For on that day the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest for you. And you shall afflict your anointed and consecrated to minister as priests in his father's place, shall make atonement and put on the linen clothes, the holy garment. Then he shall make atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make atonement for the tabernacle meeting and for the altar. And he shall make atonement for the priests and for all the people of the assembly. This shall be an everlasting statute for you to make atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses. Ooh, what a word this morning. And Leviticus chapter 16, tell Aaron, your brother, not to come at just any time into the holy place, inside the veil before the holy seat. This he died. It is a holy thing to come into the presence of the Lord. We should never treat it casually or flippant, as Aaron learned. When we go to church, when we go into the house of God, we should not treat it as a social club. We should not treat it as just some place to go hang out. It is a holy place unto the Lord. And we should treat the house of God with reverence. So many times we see folks yucking it up. We see kids running in the hallway. We see folks not taking the house of God seriously. But God's house is holy and should be treated as such. We should not go into the house of God acting any old way. God will hold us accountable for how we treat his house. And I love what Dr. Stanley says, what the Bible says about the cover-up. And again, for those that are just joining us, this is Moving Forward with Minister Bridget. Different time. We will be back to our 7 o'clock a.m. time on tomorrow, Old Testament Friday. And we'll be back together, God willing, on Sunday for New Testament Sunday. But we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. We are on the 23rd day of February, and we are in Leviticus chapter 16. And this is what Dr. Stanley says, what the Bible says about the cover-up. The Old Testament uses an interesting word, atonement, in connection with the forgiveness of God. Leviticus tells sinful Hebrews to bring a guilt offering to the priest who shall make atonement. atonement for him before the Lord, and he shall be forgiven for any one of these things that he may have done in which he trespasses. It also describes the Day of Atonement, known today as Yom Kippur. God told the Hebrews, on that day, the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. Atonement means to cover. It is the same Hebrew word translated to coat in Genesis 16 and 14, where God instructs Noah how to build the ark. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. While the sacrificial system functioned adequately for a time, it was temporary in nature. The sins of those living under the Levitical system were covered but not forgiven. Why? Because the blood of animals can never pay the whole debt incurred by sinners. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. But it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. Hebrews 10, 3 and 4. In God's economy, sin creates a deficit. Whenever sin occurs, something is taken or demanded from the sinner. Ultimately, God requires death as payment for sin. So Paul writes, one man's sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Romans 5 and 12. So if penalty for sin is death, then why did God not immediately snuff out the lives of Adam and Eve? Did he not say that on the day they sinned, they would surely die? Genesis 2 and 17. Why does he not do the same for all sinners? Why provide a system through which fellowship could be restored if sin ultimately results in death? The answer is simple, yet life-changing. God wants something more than retribution. He desires something more than getting paid back for the disrespect shown him. God wants fellowship with us, and he willingly puts his own system of justice on hold while he made final provision for the rescue of sinful men and women. And that rescue was Jesus. Hallelujah. We are blessed beyond a curse because of our Savior. Leviticus 16 and 29, you shall afflict your souls. On the Day of Atonement was the whole nation of Israel commanded to fast, afflict seriousness of our sin, but even more on the treasure of God's forgiveness. Nothing comes, some things only come by fasting and prayer. Are you fasting and are you praying to God? For God is in charge of everything. And when we get to our Psalms, the 26th Psalm, verse 6 through 12, please join me there. Psalm 26, verses 6 through 12. I will wash my hands in innocence, so I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with a voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Do not gather my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands is a sinister scheme, and whose right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful to me. My foot stands in an even place. In the congregation, I will bless the Lord. Hallelujah. And a life lesson from the 26th Psalm, verse number 12. In the congregation, I will bless the Lord. Some believers say, I don't need to go to church. Hand up. I was one of those people at one point in my life. I don't need to go with the church. I am sick and tired of all them hypocrites up in there talking the talk but not walking the walk. I'm sick of how they treat the children of the church. I don't need to go there. They get on my nerves. They think they know everything. You know, the pastor think he know everything and don't want to have anybody else's opinion. I don't need to go to church. I can do church from my own house. I can do church. You know, I love me some G.E. Patterson. I would do church with Pastor Patterson. I wasn't coaching, but I love me some Pastor G.E. Patterson, the Bishop Patterson. And I would listen to him. My kids watched the 700 Club. You know, we were spending time with God, but we were not in church, and it was not the right thing to do. I had to repent. I had to ask God to please forgive me. Because I messed up big time, not doing what I was called to do, not doing what God from the flow up did not do right. I admit it. I had to repent. Had to ask for some forgiveness because I was wrong. And I take responsibility for my wrongness. I take responsibility for not doing what I was supposed to do. And it says, again, some believers say, I don't need to go to church. Jesus said, I get along just fine on our own. Jesus and I get along just fine on our own. All up in my business. But the Bible never envisions believers coming together for worship and mutual encouragement. God does not want us sitting at home. Because I tell you this, when you leave this world, T.D. Jakes is not going to utilize you. When you leave this world, Joel Osteen is not going to come and put you in the ground. When you leave this world, Tony Evans is not coming to preach at your service. He is not the one that's going to be at the repast. Everyone, you need a church home. You need a church home. I said to my children, you need a church home. We all need that communion of saints. We need church home. Whether you like somebody or not, you need Jesus. And you need the community of saints. God wants us to be together, and you can't do it sitting on your living room couch watching TV and watching YouTube. It's great to get sermons from there, but you need a church home. And I'm just saying it. You don't have to agree with me, but I can only speak for myself. I was wrong. God showed me I was wrong. I had to do some serious repenting. And I still ask God to forgive me because I messed up big time. And I can only say, Lord, forgive me. Messed up. Didn't do it myself. Some things we can't do ourselves and we can't do by ourselves. We need Jesus. We need a congregation of saints. Trust God. Pray about it. Ask God to guide you to the right church for you. The right church for you. I say this. I was stuck in tradition where I didn't feel I could go to any other church. And when I would go to my church, I refused to go on Easter, Christmas, or Mother's Day. Didn't go because I was not going to be a CME. You ain't going to call at me on that one. I'd go before Easter, and I'd go after Christmas or before Christmas, but I didn't go to the Christmas service. I'd go before Mother's Day. I'd go after Mother's Day, but I didn't go on Mother's Day unless I went to church with my own mother. You know, didn't go to church where I lived. Didn't take my kids to church. Wrong. It's wrong. And I ask God daily, Lord, forgive me. Because the word says to train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Sporadically taking your children to church is not the right. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. But whoever you are, go to church. Go back to the house of God. Take your children. Take your grandchildren. Get into the congregation of saints. And I tell you, it will be worth your while and worth it for your children and grandchildren. We got to get back to the basics. Are you stoned in good ground? You won't know until you go in the house of God. Where you stoned? We're going to go into that in just a few minutes. So please join me in Mark chapter 4. And it says this in Mark chapter 4. And again, he began to teach by the sea. Great multitude was gathered to him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Fell among thorns. Fell among the weeds. Grew up, and then, listen to this. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. And he said to them, do you not, he's preaching to his disciples, do you not understand his parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the sowing right now, the word of God. I guess you could say, I'm a sower today. I'm sowing the word of God. Not trying to preach this morning, but this is a word God put in my spirit early this morning. I was not even in the same state. I was in Kentucky and came to Illinois, but this word came to me in Kentucky this morning. I didn't even have my Bibles with me, but I knew what God wanted me to do, and I opened my word on my phone. I said, okay, Lord, where am I going today? Where am I going this morning? And God told me the time, and he told me what to preach and what to teach this morning, and it is about sowing. Sowing. We've got to sow the word of God. God wants us to know his word. God is in charge of everything, and he wants us to know who he is. God in charge. And he loves us. He loves us completely and totally. And as we go back to this word, Now then will you understand all the parables. How? He's like, you don't understand this. How will you understand the rest? So he's going to break it down. He's breaking it down for you. He's breaking it down for me. He broke it down for them. And this is what Jesus said, not Pastor Bridget, not Pastor Jesse, not anybody, not evangelists, not the other ministers, not anyone, but Jesus said this to his disciples as he says it to us. The sower sows the word. What does the sower sow? He sows the word. Instruction before leaving earth is the word of God. And it's sown. What we do every morning, we are sowing the word of God. It says this, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. You're hearing this word and turn around and it's gone. Ask, what did you learn this morning? I have no idea. The enemy has come that quick and snatched it away because he doesn't want you in the word, because he knows that is a weapon that can defeat him, is the word of God. And then as we continue, it says this. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. We know folks that are get in all excited, and then you don't see them again. They go. No root. And then as we continue, it says, and afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things entering in to choke the word. Those are the folks come to church praying, asking God, Lord, please give me that job. Lord, please give me the career that I need. Lord, please hear my prayer. Lord, you know that I need a financial breakthrough, and money comes out of nowhere for them. And then they got money. They got the career. They got everything they asked God for. But them again, until they may lose that job, or they may lose that financial blessing, or they may lose something, and then here they come back to ask for prayer. But when they had, and when God had blessed them, nowhere to be seen. And I'm going to say it again. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things entering in chokes the word and it becomes unfruitful. I'm going to the game. The game is on. It's the Super Bowl. I got to get ready for my party. I don't have time to go to church. So, I'm done. I got to go. I got things to do. Yeah, I got to go clean my house. You know, I ain't got time to be in church all day. I got to get out of here. I got other things I got to do. I got to go to work. Oh, no, I got to work tonight, so I'm going home to go to bed. I'm good. I don't need all of that church stuff. How often do you hear those conversations? Too long. You know, now I ain't going to say that God didn't bless me, because God did bless me. You know, and I try to give a little something every time, every now and then to the church. I got bills to pay, so I can't be paying no tithes every time I get a paycheck. I got to only give what I can give. And, I'm, you know, God knows my heart. Know the word. Allow the world to just suck it out. But this is you. This is the sons and daughters of the Most High God. But those But these are the ones sown on good ground. Are you sown on good ground tonight? Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Psalm 100. We got to bear fruit. We got to ask God, guide us, Lord. Show us, Lord. Bring the children in. That's the fruit I want to sow, to have a children's ministry with children coming from everywhere and receiving the word of God on good ground, because children suck it in. And you never forget what you learn in Sunday school. You never forget what you learn in children's church. The things I learned going to church, I still have with me that desire and that love for the word of God. I got it in church. I got it as a child going to Bible study, going to the YPD meeting, going to the Girl Guard meeting, going to the youth ministry meeting, going to the Corps Cadets. Yes, I was a Salvationist. So those are like, what's she talking about, Corps Cadets and Girl Guards? I was in it, and I loved it. And it was who I was. I was studying. I was going to be a Salvation Army officer. That was my goal in life. But God had other plans. And I thank God for the other plans. But he never took the word out of me. Even when I faltered, even when I failed, even when I moved away and didn't want to be in his house. But I never stopped loving God. I never stopped reading the word. I never stopped spending time on my knees. But I do what was right. I was like that one, not on the good ground, letting the enemy suck it out. And we got to watch that we are on good ground. The Lord wants to bless you. The Lord wants to lead and guide you. The Lord loves you like that. And he wants you to know that we can't be just hearers of the word. We got to be doers of the word. We got to accept it. What did he say? But those who are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it. Are you accepting the word? So many times we hear, but we don't accept it. Well, I don't know about that. I disagree with that. I've been speaking. Hand up. I disagree with that. I don't know what they're talking about. Well, I ain't got time for all of that. You know, let me go read something else. I don't want to read that. The word of God is the word of God. But you got to read it. You got to study it. You got to meditate on it day and night, because that's what God has said. Cannot allow the enemy to snatch it from you, because that is what he wants to do. He wants to take your power. Your power is the word of God. Stand on this word. We love God, and he loves us, and he wants what's best for us, and we got to know who he is. We got to get dressed every day with the armor of God. We got to know that that nasty little sneaky snake is out there slithering around, ready to devour and to take what God has given you. That is his job, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That he does. That is his assignment. And we got to fight him with everything in us. We can say, not today. You got to learn how to say, not today. Not today. You are not taking what God has given me today. No. The answer is no. Not today. And when we go to chapter 6 of Ephesians, and it says, the whole armor of God, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his. Let me get it now. We got to have that armor on every day so that sneaky snake cannot snatch away the word of God from you. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the sneaky snake. For we wrestle flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual weaknesses in higher places. Spiritual weakness, wickedness in high places. Understand, the devil's in church too. He's in church too. Don't get it twisted. He's in there. And he loves to cause confusion. The confusion starter. Start praying against that spirit. Because the devil likes to come to church. And believe me when I tell you this, he knows the word of God and will use it against you. That's why you got to know it to fight back. Hallelujah. He went after Jesus. Don't think he ain't going after you. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and have done all to stand. We are in the evil day. Stand, therefore, having your loins, the truth. Come on now. Put on them pants of truth, I'm going to just say it. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Hallelujah. Get that word. Above all, take the shield of faith. We got to have faith. Wherever you shall be, to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation. Thank you. We need Jesus. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Do you have your sword today? Have your sword. Standing on truth, Paul, take the shield of faith. We got to get dressed every day. Either go and read this every day, then read it every day. Get it in your spirit so that you know, not today. You got to have a not today, Satan, in your spirit every day. Not today. You are not getting in my spirit. You are not getting on my nerves. You are not going to take away my peace. Come on now. And our prayer for this morning. Restraint. Put your sword back in its place. Come on now. Jesus said to him, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? And this is the time, Matthew 26, we just read that, I think last week or week before last, where Jesus was being taken up to be crucified. Where Judas had betrayed him. And somebody cut off the ear of one of the guards of Caiaphas. And Jesus put it back on. Don't tell me that that guard didn't think about that ear. Being in his, looking at that bloody ear. And then watching Jesus set it back on and it being normal. Come on now. You better think. It says, Lord, when I'm quick to react even to injustice, all up in my business. Would you give me a heart of discernment to remain true to your kingdom's ways? As I walk with you, meditating on your word, may I become more like you, Jesus, that you are not a bully. You never took anything by force or by demanding attention. Everything you did was done with respect for people's humanity and dignity, even when you challenged them. Lord, when I feel a gut reaction, happening, help me to run into a place of peace. Fill my mind with your words that bring clarity, not confusion. May I be a harbor of your peace that brings calm to chaos. Let me not be swept up in the passion of the moment, but may I remain steady in your love. And when I mess up, may I be quick to ask for forgiveness and even quicker to forgive those around me. Thank you for your grace that empowers and enables me to become more like you. Hallelujah. Are you trying to do for God? For chooses not to. Choose the Lord today. Stand on his word. Don't let the devil get you off your square. Be restrained and know that you are covered by the blood of Jesus, covered in your going in and covered in your coming out. Don't let the devil get in your face. Just ignore his foolishness. We don't have time for that today. We got work to do. It's time to go to work. Who do you work for? You work for the Lord. What do you stand on? You stand on that peace that surpasses all understanding, that comes from God, and you carry your sword, which is the word of God. Cover yourself. Faith. The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We got to have the faith to know that we are protected by that shield, by that helmet of salvation. You are protected by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I didn't mean to preach this morning, but I'm just filled up. God has just said, today, preach my word, daughter. And that's exactly what I'm doing. I thank you, Lord. And Sister Carolyn, right on point, right up in it this morning. Good morning. Those who leave everything in God's hand will eventually see God's hand in everything. Have a thankful Thursday, family. And that is all I can say this morning. I know we were a little late in what we had to do. I had to do what God called me to do, which was go to spend time with my mother. And I will always do what God says do, because I found out in my life how important it is. Thanking God for all of you. Thanking God for this mighty word. And asking God to bless you, to cover you in your going in and your coming out. Father God, I pray to all of you, ladies and gentlemen, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. Don't let the enemy knock you off your square. Know who you are, who you belong to. Get your sword and be ready to fight that sneaky, low-down, dirty snake who will do his best to knock you off your square, who will do his best to snatch this word from you today. Understand, you are sown on good ground. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. Have a great day. Thanking God for all of you. Thanking God for safe travel. Thank you for your prayers. I made it there and home safely. Just trusting God and being grateful that I serve an awesome and mighty God. Have a blessed day. It is a wrap. Again, join me tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. God willing. Have a great day. It's a wrap.